We will be speaking with Chris Hand, who has a arts scene roundup for us. He's going to be talking a little bit about art in the metro, creating a general discussion on art in the metro. Chris, how are you this morning?
Not bad. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. A little bit of chatter going on in this room.
There's seven of us here. It's a busy room.
It's funny, Jeff. Not only are there seven, but there are people knocking on the doors trying to get in, too. Knocking on the windows, trying to tear down the walls.
Throw money.
So how are you doing, Chris?
Not bad. Basically, it was the sort of thing where I was looking around and realized there's not an awful lot of shows that are happening in galleries or museums that I was particularly enthralled about now, and realize that we are quite blessed because there is some phenomenal art that is in the metro. And so I had spoken to everybody who's here and asked them sort of where and what metro stations they take, because I'm certain that for the most part, when you take or whoever takes the metro, they're sort of passed by the art but really aren't terribly aware of it. And so, Craig. First of all, don't call me sir. what's the metro stop you get in the morning or you get off of at night?
I live like about a minute walk from Jean Talon Metro, so I'm at the intersection of two lines, so I get the opportunity to take a lot of blue line stations and get on also the orange line.
Okay, and at which point do you have a particularly favorite station?
Well, like I was saying, I love the blue line in general. There's some really beautiful art in the blue line. I guess it's the most modern or most recent of the additions besides the extension to Laval. But the one that was really striking, I've only taken it about four times, but Acadie Metro.
Yeah, there it's the sort of thing where let me spit this out properly. I'm surprised you say that because there's actually no real art within it in terms of no separate pieces. It was designed by... where is it? Meteor Design. And the benches are what they sort of generally accept as being the works of art because, from my understanding, I've only been there once myself. The benches themselves are very uncomfortable. And if you figure it's good to look at, then at which point you can't sit on it, then it must be art. It's the sort of thing where, so I'm always fascinated just by how much goes through. Is there anything that
Jumps sort of those somersaulting pictures of somersaulting people as you're leaving the metro, with a sort of pop art sensation that's going on in Acadie. That really struck me because it was just so different than other metros.
Yes, no, there it's the photos by Jean Mercier representing people in flight. Until 2005, it was the only permanent photographic work of art in the metro. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
No, Jeffrey, what's your favorite metro? You got to pull the microphone so that people can hear you.
My favorite, I think the one that struck me was Place Saint-Henri, just because of the title of the Gabriel Well novel, which is put into the stone at the brick, whatever you want to call it, at the metro station. And but at the same time, I was always trying to figure out what at Villa Maria, because I was working on the NDG election campaign, and so I had to go to Villa Maria this past fall quite a bit. And there's these things that are sort of, they look like half screws that are stuck onto the wall. And they're in different sort of rolling shapes. Yeah, that's the exact picture. I was just wondering more about them in a way.
It's by Andre Leonard, and it's basically a mural. And it was one of the things that within the history of the metro, there was the first art director who was... Robert LaPalme, I think. My notes are a little bit all over the place, especially since you guys told me one metro and then are now telling me a second one. Okay. So I'm prepared.
Well, I also mentioned Barry UCAM, which you have there.
But there it's the sort of thing where one of the things that was quite interesting is that the first art director of the metro was very, very dictatorial in his decision that he wanted figurative art that was didactic, and it was the sort of thing where everything had to teach, everything you had to be able to recognize stuff. There was none of this sort of like murals of screws in Villa Maria that would have happened and so on. The second director of art for the Metro who's the one who made the big mural in McGill, which talks about the history of Montreal itself, had decided that because he was a signer of the Refus Global and was part of the Automatist. It's way too early in the morning for me. He had wanted to go completely abstract, and so for the stuff that he approved, it's basically pretty much all abstract all over the place. There are, to my mind, four different places where you can get like a wealth of information about it. There's the one that sort of first twigged me, which is this book by Ulysses, which is actually a tour guide book to the Metro, which is... lots of fun, just because it gives you like who the architect was, when it was built, what the changes were, and so on. With the addition of the Laval Metro that came out now with the second edition, which I picked up, there's also this wonderful, wonderful website called the Metro de Montréal. .com, metrodemontreal.com, and there it's within it they have pretty much the same information but even in more depth that the guidebook for Ulysses, the Montreal Metro guidebook, has. And then obviously there's Wikipedia, which is sort of pick and choose. It isn't as comprehensive as either the Ulysses book or the metrodemontreal.com website. And then there's a nice overview and history with some pictures from the STM's website themselves. Personally, I think my favorite one is also at the St. Henri Metro, because I lived there for, I don't know, something ridiculous, like 14 years. And it was, that's always one of the things that I was sort of annoyed about, was that it's very difficult. Yes, the spinny-turny thing. It's always difficult to find out who makes what, when, and where. And now,
does that have a function? Do you know? Because you did this whole this great segment that I'm so fascinated. Does that spin? Because I live at St. Henri, so I'm wondering, like, does that thing have a function, or is it?
Does it have water coming through it? That's some kind of water.
No. There's there's water coming through it. It means that it's busted.
No,
it's not a pleasant effect.
No, they're from my understanding of it is that it's basically sort of like a wind turbine. Because in the way that the ones that are underneath, they sort of catch the wind, although I think it's more in theory than in practice, because it really is not exactly the lightest thing. And then initially when I was living down there, the barrier, so as to touch it and stuff, was about at my knees. And I have no idea if anybody actually fell over, and hopefully they didn't. But I do know that they have changed the barrier, so it is much higher now. But I used to get such a big thrill out of reaching over and going, spin, 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 spin. And
that's why they put the wall up.
Okay. Yeah, and it is basically it's a sculpture by Jacques de Tonnancourt. And I have, in the book by Ulysses, I have no details about who or what it is, but that's one of the fascinating things about abstract art, is you can come up with any theory that you like, and if it makes sense, such as it being a wind turbine, or as Margot says, it's something for water and stuff like that, then you say, okay, it makes sense.
Well, all theories aside, when the Montreal Metro system was actually made, one of the, it was made in at the end of the 60s, at the beginning of the 70s, and that was, as Craig mentioned, pop art. That was the heyday of pop art being put into actual community projects and whatnot. And one of the striking features of the Montreal Metro system is that every single station is artistically different. And that was one of the goals of the creators of the Montreal Metro system, to make every single station artistically different from the other, so that it wouldn't be this continuity, this dull, drab landscape of urbanization. It would actually be something that you could see different things in depending on your artistic perspective.
Yep.
And so basically,
Jeffrey looks like he has something he wants to pipe in here.
If you ask me what my favorite metro station is, I got to say all of them, because it's all of them together that create the metro line.
Okay, Jeffrey.
One of the things I find interesting is how you're bringing this to the fore. Have you had people who have come to you as a person in art wondering about some of these things before, or is it something sometimes that we go past every day?
To me, it's nobody. People come up to me every day and ask me some really weird and strange questions. So with regards to the Metro, it's no weirder or stranger than any other ones. But it is one of the things that I find both immensely satisfying about Montreal and also incredibly frustrating in terms of the amount of public art that is here in town is just absolutely flabbergasting, and there's no way to go see all of it in one lifetime. And with public art, it is, yes, you have the habit of just passing by it and passing by it and passing by it. There's the three sculptures that I pass by on University as I walk up here, and then for some reason there's that disconnect and there are no plaques anywhere, and such as in the Metro, unless you go doing the research, it's sort of extremely frustrating. Who did it? What's it called? Why is it there? What's the history behind it? Is there any significance or anything? And to me, it's always the sort of, yeah, stop and look. It's very, whatchamacallit, not helpful. Makes me happy, comforting when I sort of recognize, oh, yeah, that's there. That's cool.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I just want to know, maybe you, in your research, Lionel grew the tree coming out of the...
I was just about to... Well, yeah.
We're all on the same page. Can you please just background, because I go through there, you know, St. Henry lived there, so I found out exactly.
Yeah, for everybody who can't see on the radio, I have a book here, and I'm pulling up pictures.
Chris has pictures.
I have pictures. You can see them on the web. You can pick up the book for yourself. Basically, it is L'Arbre de Vie, the Tree of Life. It is made by Joseph Refessor. And there it's with the name Joseph Refessor, a simple Google search, or there's also a wonderful resource at the Musée d'Art Contemporain where they basically have almost what appears to be every single art magazine book or picture ever created and so on. And they have a librarian there who will gladly lead you through to find out anything. I personally don't know anything about Joseph Refessor. And I would imagine with the Tree of Life, there are various things in it that are made to make you think about birth, marriage, death, and those significant things that happen in people's life and so on.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So, Chris, thank you very much for opening and presenting that discussion on Metro and the Art.
As I said, if anybody is interested in finding more, there's the book by Ulysses called Montréal en Métro. There's the website metrodemontréal.com, and then there's also the STM's website, stm.info, and the invaluable Wikipedia.